Hello, everyone, and welcome to Not Quite Hollywood, episode 73. I'm Jamie.
I'm Alex.
And that's it. Here we go, another two-man show. If you didn't know, this is a podcast where we discuss movies on the odd episodes and topics on the even episodes. 73 is odd, so we're going to discuss some films today. We got the re-release, the 4K restoration, 3D conversion, Terminator 2, Judgment Day, 3D, 4K, long title.
Exclusively movie. At AMC.
Is it really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so if you don't have an AMC around you, I'm sorry. Good luck.
You should, though. They're like all over.
I mean, there aren't many in Maine, I know that. Then we'll be discussing my communal film, Inner Space. And finally, we're going to be going back to 1980 for a 52 pickup based on my recent journeys. Talk about a little film called Airplane. So we are on iTunes at Not Quite Hollywood. Of course, subscribe there. If you're listening to us there, give us a little review. Email us. We'd love to have emails. If you want to suggest a movie for us to watch or a topic for us to discuss, you can always do that at notquitepod@gmail.com.
We will watch any movie you recommend.
I would say that to get somebody to email us. Yeah, let's see what happens.
Yeah.
I mean, we already done a softcore porn, but we're looking for real movies.
Despite the rating, whatever it is, we will watch it.
Yeah, give us something dumb to watch. Give us one of your favorite movies. That'd be cool, too. Even if it is a bad movie. Also, we're on Twitter and Facebook, Not Quite Hollywood. And Twitter is NQHpod. But let's get right into it. I want to talk about a film that we saw today.
Okay.
What would that film be, Alex?
Terminator 2 Judgment Day.
Also known as?
I don't know.
Your favorite movie.
Yes, it is. It is my favorite movie.
Now, this is pretty surprising to me.
Really?
I don't know. I just thought most people...
I'm a complicated man.
I guess. Most people, they tend to pick one around, I found anyway, around their birth year. Mm-hmm. It seems to fit that way. And this one's like, I think, 2 years older than you.
Yeah, but I mean, I guess it's around it.
Oh, no, that's what I meant. Yeah, it's around it. Like, mine's the same year, it just happens that way, but...
Yeah.
Do you
want to know why?
Yeah, please, why?
Okay. So, my reasoning about why Terminator 2 Judgment Day is my favorite movie is the action's cool, but what I really, really like about it, and I noticed it even more this time than I have in the past, is that the Terminator is the most human thing about that movie. And he, he learns not to kill from John Connor. But then I noticed this time watching it that Sarah Connor is even less human than he is. Because in a way, she's just like the Terminator. She decides to go kill Miles Dyson to change the future. Just like the Terminator sent back to the past to change the future. And so he goes to stop her instead of the other way around. So I think it's really interesting that like the least human character in that movie is he acts like the most human.
Well, I think that it's cool that she's so unrelenting in her quest to stop this whole nuclear fallout that, yeah, you're right. She does feel like she's a Terminator. Because when watching the film today, this is the first time either one of us had seen it on the big screen, which is awesome. Love it.
So cool.
Such a great time. If you get a chance, go see it.
Yeah.
But it reminded me of that comment when they were reviewing Winter Soldier in 2014. They said Winter Soldier is very similar to the Terminator. It's unrelenting. It's like a nonstop chase. Mm-hmm. And I guess I didn't realize how effective Terminator 2 had done that. I mean, Terminator 1 was really good, but in Terminator 2, like you felt like there was no hope at every turn. This T-1000 was going to take them out because he's so much more advanced than the T-800.
Yeah.
And he's just a freaking badass.
Yeah. For me, it goes in parts. It's like, the first chase, and then they kind of lull in the second chase, and a little bit of lull in the third chase. But we were with our friend Gianna, who had never seen it. She went to the bathroom. Like, between the second and third chase, she was gone the entire time that they were, like, talking, getting the guns, whatever. It was not that long. It was, like, 7 minutes, 10 minutes, maybe. By the time she came back, they were, like, ready to go for the next one. I was, like, I didn't realize there was such a little time in between the action scenes.
I mean, so I leaned over to you early in the film, like, this is a perfect film.
Mm-hmm.
And then I remembered the part. It's kind of like the game Red Dead Redemption. It's kind of like a little slower when they go into Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like, oh, okay, I remember that now.
In a way, though, that's my favorite part of the movie.
Really?
Because that's when the Terminator really learns from John Connor. He's teaching him all the phrases. You know, that's when he's really like, he turns around with the smirk on his face when he finds the big gun, you know.
Oh, yeah.
That's when he really like humanizes himself as a character
in Mexico. No, I agree. But I mean, when I first thought of Terminator 2 before we went to go see it, I felt that, oh my God, I remember how intense this movie was. But then I forgot those smaller moments, those little quieter moments. And they're really helpful to the overall plot. You have those little moments of respite, then you can get back into the action. And then it means more when you get into the next action scene.
Mm-hmm.
So we had a problem with the 3D when we first got there. They took a while for them to get the 3D right.
Which I heard today that they had a problem on the first day it came out in both theaters.
Okay. Why does that happen? Do you know?
I don't know, because you would think that, okay, 3D movie, it would be one file. And it would be, like, they wouldn't have to change anything in the projector. I don't know why it was fuzzy like that. That's weird.
It was really fuzzy.
And then I thought I heard somebody today in the lobby saying that the titles were off.
I was telling you, like, why don't they just test it beforehand? If it, I mean, I don't know. Like you said, it was jokingly, you jokingly said, like, oh, just put the knob the other way. But I don't know how they fixed that kind of thing. Like, well, what happens?
Did you see when they fixed it? They put, like, there was, like, a black thing over the screen, and all of a sudden it was fixed. It was weird.
I didn't know when it got fixed because I had my glasses off because it looked better then with all glasses.
Okay.
And when they fixed them, like, it's worse. And then I put my glasses on, and I'm like, oh, I just didn't put my glasses back on.
Mm-hmm.
It was pretty dumb of me.
Like, there were a few parts that were 3D. Like, I could see the depth a little bit, but I was more looking for things popping out. Because that's what the trailer, you know, when he throws the thing and the T-1000 shatters and things like that. That's what I was looking for. A little bit of that happened, but it was more just, like, seeing it on the big screen. My heart's beating, like, watching all the chase scenes. And I've seen, like, seven or eight times, you know? And I'm still like, oh, my God, like, just glued. It was nuts.
I don't know. The 3D to me has always been more about the depth. Like, in this situation, for example, in the T2 transfer, the stuff in the foreground, and especially in, like, the steel mill at the end.
I think they call it before the window and after the window. Is that the term?
I think so. I don't know. I never heard that before. It makes sense. But I mean, yeah, there's stuff in the front, especially in the steel mill. There, you see the beams and stuff in the front. And it makes a really cool, like, look to it. Actually, when they finally fixed it in the future scene in the beginning, when John's walking down the hallway, all these people on the side, and then you see the depth at the end. Essentially, and I know I'm being very reductive right now, but they just take the image, double it, and then kind of tilt it a bit.
Well, supposedly, James Cameron says he used the best conversion house in the world. That's what he says.
And that's pretty sad because it wasn't a big deal. But I mean, to make a film that was never shot in 3D is a pretty cool feat. But mm-hmm. I mean, like, that happens a lot now. A lot of films are not real 3D.
To be fair, I never saw Titanic in 3D, but I hear that that was really good 3D.
Really? That's weird.
Yeah.
I mean, God damn it, James.
I wish, you know, they should just, I would like to see the last half hour of Titanic in 3D, but the rest of it, I don't really care. But the other thing that I really like about Terminator 2, other than watching it so much as a kid with my dad showing me the chase scenes and things like that, is that it was shot around where I went to college. Like, the mall scene is literally, they come out of the Sears parking lot, go down a street right next to my college, and then go into the wash, the LA wash, and it's right by my old apartment.
Is that what it's called, the LA wash?
I mean, they call it the LA river, but
it's no river.
It's not a river.
It's not even a wash. It's dry.
Well, when it rains, the rain runoff goes in there.
But does that go to the ocean?
Supposedly.
Bullshit. I mean, you guys can't. LA, California, can't fucking deal with their water properly. Come on. Anyway, side note. Yeah, that was pretty cool. I like when, you know, I've been researching that a lot recently. Like, all these films I grew up watching. Nightmare on Elm Street, Halloween, Back to the Future. And looking at the streets in which they were shot. It's really cool to see how close they are. Like, I drove by the little shot where Marty comes out of his garage near Burger King, and then it's like a crane shot, and he's like skateboarding by.
Mm-hmm.
That's fucking
like on Victory Boulevard in Burbank, and I drove by.
Oh, really?
Like, oh, that's awesome. Yeah. I mean, it's completely different.
How close is that to the
Burger
theater?
King. It's super close. And you take a right, and it's before the Hobby Lobby. There's the Burger King. And it's just cool because they built a garage in this little parking lot on the left. And I think it's Doc Brown's garage because that's when he comes out of this. Yeah, he goes to school. Yeah. So it's like a
fake. And he holds on in the back of the pickup?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought that was on the Universal lot.
No. That's I looked it up on IMDb. IMDb, thankfully, has a lot of these on. And they'll say which scene. Like, oh.
Yeah.
Like the Reseda, the Twin Pines Mall is in City of Industry.
Okay.
The Punta Hills Mall, which I want to go see now and try to get that image and just me standing in front of the where you drop, I think it's Sears or JCPenney in the back. JCPenney.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's like really exciting to me. I want to go see that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really cool that you could see like Terminator 2, you know, right next to your college.
And then I remember my brother used to work security at the Sears. So we went to see my brother one time at work, and my dad was like, hey, you know this is where they did Terminator. And I was like, what? So he gave me like the whole tour over there. And they have planners up where the big rig goes over the wall into the LA River. They have planners there now because of the tire marks that they had when they went over. So they rebuilt the wall, but then they just put planners there so that they could have the tire tracks.
I was saying to you in the theater, that's that mall in which they interact for the first time, I guarantee that's the same mall from Kindergarten Cop, from Time Cop, and probably, just think about it now, First Kid, where they had the virtual reality set up, and Timothy Busfeld kidnaps the kid and Sinbad has to save him. Like, yeah. That legit, it's the same fucking mall. It's just such a cool mall.
It's weird because it looks a lot like the Northridge Mall in the interior, but I don't think it is. I think they said the Galleria, there's the Glendale Galleria. It might be the interior of that, but the exterior is definitely the Northridge Mall.
Oh, shit, man. I just looked up Kindergarten Cop. It's in Santa Ana. Damn it. My life is ruined. All these malls look the same.
Well, the other thing I notice about movies I like, I seem to like movies that have like a villain where it's like nothing's going to stop them. Like It Follows is my modern favorite horror movie. Post-2000s favorite horror movie. And it's the same thing. You know, they'll never stop. They'll never... You know, they'll do whatever it takes to get you. And it's basically a Terminator, pretty much. And Ex Machina, great. It's like, you know, the same kind of a theme. And I guess the villains where it's like, you know, you have to do so much to stop them, where it's like they're not going to, you know, hesitate to talk to you, tell you their plan, whatever it is. It just seems to appeal to me a lot.
Yeah. I like this film because we were discussing this a little bit here, but this film is ridiculously over the top. It's like they can't pull this shit off anymore.
No,
this is not legal in LA.
The straight stab in the bar.
Oh, that was great.
Like, and Gianna gasped, and I was like, "Oh, this is so good," because you don't see that in cinema anymore.
Right,
straight stab in the back, and he's trying to take out the knife, and it's like usually you know they'll have you know two or three cuts in that one. See, no, just one fluid motion.
Yeah.
It was crazy.
I mean, the helicopter under the bridge, like, they would never happen again.
Yeah, so I was reading a thing about that, and James Cameron was saying, yeah, we just wanted to do it. And so we had a pilot just jump in the helicopter and go under the bridge, and we didn't even really think about it. It's like, now nobody would do that. Like, insurance and all that stuff, it'd be, like, nuts. And so, you know, they like you were saying, they'd have, like, the helicopter on a rig underneath and Photoshop that out or something.
Which is totally doable. Like, no. And it's not that bad of an effect. You just you get the plate and that's it.
Yeah.
And it's a straight. That's why that's why I thought it was, because it was so perfectly straight. Like, how did they pull that off? This guy must be a professional, like a fucking absolute pro.
And also for the LA natives, the bar scene that happens in the very beginning of the film is right across the street from where Rodney King was beaten and caused the LA riots. And they were actually filming around the time that happened.
Wow.
Because they, it came out in 1991, you said?
Yeah.
And the Rodney King thing happened in 91, 92, something like that. So they were filming right around that time that happened, and they were right across the street.
By the way, I did find out the interior of First Kid and Time Cop are the same mall in Santa Ana.
Oh, okay.
I feel better about myself. God damn it.
The other thing, every time I watch this movie, I get so disappointed in Edward Furlong because he had so much potential. He was so good.
He was good, but he was kind of still annoying.
Oh, I don't find him annoying.
No?
I think I would use the word endearing.
Okay.
Or, I don't know. Maybe it's because I watched it as a kid, but it's just like, it's so 90s, you know? All the terms that he's teaching in Terminator.
I mean,
it's so for the time, you know?
He's definitely not the worst I've seen in a long time. But I think he's just...
Also, American History X is really good,
too. Oh, yeah, he's really good in that. But I just think his voice, like, he hits this, like, register that's annoying, almost shatters glass.
It's because he's going through puberty.
This is true, yeah.
And that's why I think it's so cool, because usually, you know, actors, you don't see them in that stage of their life.
Oh, I meant to ask you, does this movie take place in, like, 1995? Because he's...
I think it does.
Because he's supposed to... theoretically, if the year came out, he's 6 years old. Which I think he's more like 12 or 10.
I read, you know, I started watching the Everything Wrong with Terminator 2 and I stopped because it made me mad. But in that, they were saying that he should be 10, but he seems more like 13 or 14.
Well, but even so, like, it must take place in 95 then, like 2 years before.
I think so.
Yeah. I am kind of ready to watch the third one again. It's been a long time. You do?
I have it on DVD from HBO.
Wow.
And I think it's 3x5.
3x5?
Or whatever it is.
Like 4x3?
Yes, thank you.
Oh my God, that's disgusting. I'm going to keep my rented version. I spend $4, but it's worth it if it's HD and widescreen.
Okay, this is why, and I said this earlier, the reason why there hasn't been a good Terminator film is because they haven't made him be as human as he is in the second one. Like the Terminator becomes relatable almost in the second one. And all the other ones, they never do that. And everyone's like, why isn't it profitable anymore? But in this one, we like feel for him. It's like, I know why you cry. It's like, that never happens in the other ones.
No, I would say to risk the alternate reality that we have now where True Lies and the preparation for Titanic happened, he should have finished a trilogy.
Arnold?
James Cameron.
Oh, yeah, I agree with that.
And then it would have been a completely perfect trilogy. Nothing wrong with it, but no.
And you know what? You know what? He shot the T2 3D experience for Universal. He did this whole thing. He used like a 2-ton camera for the 3D. And they were like, whenever Cameron does anything, he has to, you know, move the camera everywhere. So they had to make all these rigs and things. I was watching behind the scenes today. And he literally said that this is almost like a sequel to T2 and T3 will continue this.
What?
And then he didn't have any part in T3. And I was like, dude.
Yeah, that sucks. I want to see this experience now. I've never seen this. I've never been to like a Universal or anything. So
I mean, it's gone now. But
I know. But the Back to the Future thing would have been cool too. Like, yeah. I have to find somewhere online they ripped him or something.
Yeah. But definitely go check out Terminator 2. Whether it's in theaters or whatever, if you haven't seen it. I don't know why you're listening to this if you haven't
High
seen
def
it.
High-def Blu-ray.
Like, it's been 20 years.
Well, we didn't spoil the movie or anything.
I guess not.
We just talked about how cool it was.
Yeah. And also, Hank from Breaking Bad is one of the FBI agents at the end of the movie. I mean, I know you haven't seen the show, but he's one of the
bald guy?
Yes.
Dean something?
Yeah, Dean Norris.
Norris.
Yeah. He's one of the main policemen at the end.
That's weird. I didn't notice that. Oh, he did look familiar to me. Mm-hmm. And that I thought of his image because he was in a trailer for another film. I think American Assassin or something. He's in another film we saw a trailer for.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, there's the guy from Breaking Bad. That's all I know him for.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so.
Speaking of sci-fi movies.
Fuck yeah. Good segue.
It's a sci-fi episode.
Great segue.
I was thinking about that all day today.
Oh, it is a sci-fi. Well, except Airplane. Fuck it. I ruined it. So anyway, this
fucking Leslie Nielsen.
I've been wanting to watch this R.I.P. movie. Yeah, really. That's amazing. I've been wanting to watch Interspace for a long time. I always like heard about the premise, like, oh, a guy gets shrunk into a body. I thought there was another film like that, and definitely some of the films like that in the 50s. But I wanted to watch it because it was one of those films like, oh, I thought he was going to help him get better or heal him or something. Like, he has to go in the body to fix something, like cancer cells or something. But it was more just like he accidentally got stuck in there. It's a weird vehicle and almost like a launching pad for Martin Short, Meg Ryan, and Dennis Quaid. Because right after this point, they all like went crazy in their careers. Meg Ryan did When Harry Met Sally, and then all of the other rom-coms of late 80s, early 90s. And then freaking Martin Short, he just continued to get... I mean, he didn't really have a huge breakout, but I mean, he just kept going. Like, he had done SNL before this. And then, of course, Dennis Quaid. That was one of his first big things, and now he's...
I mean...
Every man in everything.
I was very confused with the relationship between Martin... Okay, Martin Short was, like, flirting with Meg Ryan, but yep. Then he was also flirting with that other girl from his work.
Well, he liked her at first, Wendy.
But then... I don't know. I was very confused with, like, what girl he was trying to get with.
Why are you so confused about relationships all the time?
But, like, because it seemed like Meg Ryan was with Dennis Quaid.
Yeah, but it was a love triangle. That's what I said. It's like the epitome of, like, a love triangle movie. Because he had started feeling for Meg Ryan.
Mm-hmm.
And then Dennis Quaid obviously is like, no. Like, I want to be back with her. And then she was kind of, for a moment, conflicted. But it wasn't really drawn out.
Yeah.
But
then he saw the girl at the club.
Yeah, but he didn't really care about her at that point. Oh. Like, he was starting to... Because at the end, he shuts her down. Like, no, not a chance in hell or something like that. Like, something really definitive. Because she had turned him down in the beginning of the film. And he... and like, ah. Yeah. So...
I didn't remember that before. Yeah. Okay.
This movie is so fun because I didn't realize how funny it was. Like, it's a Martin Short freaky faces display. It was really fun.
Especially in the beginning.
Yeah. My God.
I would love to see just that character. Just like through a... It seemed like a character out of an SNL skit almost.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, when he was dancing to that song, The Twist or something like that, it was totally Martin Short. Like, he's done that character in SNL.
I was thinking when he was like freaking out about everything.
Oh, yeah.
His health and all that stuff.
Yep. That's true, too.
And when he was in the doctor's office and he thought that the voices was in his head. Which I guess it was in a way, but
it was.
When he was imagining it or something.
So I got to backtrack a little bit. I never knew Joe Dante directed this film, and I love that guy. So he's done, obviously he did like The Howling, which I haven't seen yet, but I heard was really good. He did Gremlins, which is one of my favorites of the 80s.
Which I still have not seen.
You got to watch it. It's pretty good. Pretty good time. He did The Burbs, which I love. Gremlins 2, of course, and a lot of other things. But
Small Soldiers.
Yeah, Small Soldiers.
Did
which,
he?
Which I'm not sure if I like anymore. Like, the more I think about it, I don't know. It was just interesting. It was really weird.
That was one when I was growing up.
I watched it for the 52 pickup this year. It was
so
fun.
Go back and listen to that episode to see if Jamie approved of that or not.
I think I thought it was okay. It was definitely not made for kids. Or it was. There's a backstory behind it. But anyway... and then he did this film I want to see called Explorers. It was actually a 1985 movie. It might be my next communal film because I know it broke my 85 rule, but I want to check this film out because it's about these kids that kind of make an alien spaceship.
Mm.
And it sounds cool. Like, it's like one of those like Stand By Me meets like The Last Starfighter or some shit. But anyway, this film, you had mentioned this, is really funny how you said it, but it's true that... He has one of the best arcs.
Oh, yeah.
Of any character ever. Like, he's so well designed, this character.
Hey, I thought, okay. So, it seemed like at the beginning, Dennis Quaid was the main character. But Martin Short was so much more fascinating.
Yeah. Dennis Quaid didn't really change much. He just said, I'm going to stop being a dick and marry her.
Yeah. But, and he was, like, in his body the whole time. He was in his ship the whole time.
Pretty much.
And, like, there was that moment... Where I'm surprised I can remember so much from this movie, by the way, because I definitely slept through a good part of it.
Jesus.
like that part when Martin Short was in the hallway and he was like, oh, this guy can give me super strength and I can punch this guy in the face, right? So he goes and punches him and then he realizes that Dennis Quaid is in the girl.
Yeah.
The ship is in the girl. And he's like, oh, I did that myself.
Yeah, it was cool. Like, he was like, give me strength, Tuck.
Yeah.
I gotta say, Dennis Quaid's character, Tuck Pendleton, one of the best 80s characters' names of all time.
Oh, definitely.
Tuck Pendleton? What kind of fucking writing is that? It's just great. He's like a hapless loser of an ex-pilot, though. He's
it's almost like Tuck Pendleton and John Connor. Like Tuck Pendleton is definitely the winner of that.
I don't know, man. It's kind of cheesy.
It is.
Like, no one would be called Tuck Pendleton.
It's great.
You think like maybe John Pendleton or Marshall Pendleton, but Tuck? What the fuck? I like this film a lot, though. It was fun.
It was cool.
Visual effects for the inside of the body actually hold up pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of it was Jell-O based, I guess. They used Jell-O for some of the cells.
Okay, this is the thing that I can't imagine them... Like, nowadays, I don't think that you use miniatures that much because I feel like it's more special effects now.
Yeah.
I cannot imagine a thing of Jell-O and then, like, I don't know how they would steer the ship in it, but I just can't picture this on, like, a giant movie like this. You know, it's really hard to just picture them shooting it.
Yeah.
It just seems weird.
I think... Yeah, I get you. I'd rather do miniatures though. Like, it looks more realistic.
Yeah,
it looks like it's probably like a RC car sized little ship that they're controlling remote controlled into this little vessel they've made in the Jell-O. The cells are Jell-O. I don't know.
I was thinking that they would just have a toothpick and like Photoshop out the toothpick thing.
Yeah, but back then they wouldn't do that.
I don't know.
Maybe now.
But like, you know how film crew sets have like all these people on it, whatever, and they're like, okay. Now we're going to do this Jell-O shot.
Mm-hmm.
No pun intended. And we just need like three people in this room to do this. And everyone else is like at lunch or something. It just seems weird. But like it looks so much better.
Yeah. And that's why it holds up. Because it's not CGI. It's not, especially 80s, 90s CGI really stands out as bad.
Yeah.
For the most part. So seeing...
With Terminator and Interspace being the exception.
I would say Terminator doesn't hold up as well as you think it does.
Well, I mean, okay, at the time it won the Oscar.
Sure, at the time.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's like The Abyss. It still doesn't really hold up because it looks cool. It was innovative. I mean, I don't know. It was not practical. So they did as much as they could practically.
Are you talking about the liquid metal stuff?
Yeah. Mostly.
I mean, yeah. I'm talking about the nuke stuff, the...
Oh, that was great. Like the fire in her dream. Oh my God.
That was really cool.
That looks so... It was terrifying to watch it again.
Yeah.
Because I really thought about like the implications of this.
Especially on the big screen.
Yeah, but the implications of that scene, like you think of it as an adult, and I was like, holy fuck, that's a nuke in LA. That could happen from North Korea right now.
Yeah.
That's pretty scary.
Yeah.
And are we in the blast radius or not? Are we far enough from downtown LA to not get affected by the initial blast?
Are in Maine. Here we're pretty screwed.
No, I'm saying right here in North Hollywood.
Yeah.
Would that be done?
We'd be done.
You think so?
Oh yeah.
If it hit downtown LA.
Yep.
The blast radius would get to us, or would the heat get to us?
I'm pretty sure we'd be done.
I don't think we'd get any of that. We'd have to drive north to get away from the radiation. But we'd have to know about it like right away.
I'm pretty sure we're like 15 miles from LA.
We're less than that. What's the... I'm going to figure out the question. Hold on.
I think we'd be done for. You got to look up how far
we're... Hey, Siri, how big is the blast radius for a nuclear explosion?
She's Google. I found this on the web for how big is the blast radius for a nuclear explosion.
Man, you're not helpful, Siri, you bitch.
How big is the blast radius for a nuclear explosion?
This is Android versus Apple right now.
Almost certain if one is caught in the open with no terrain or building masking effects within a radius of 0 to 3 kilometers from a 1 megaton airburst.
How much is a kilometer?
0 to 3 kilometers is nothing. From the same 1 megaton atmospheric explosion.
1 kilometer equals 0.621 mile. Oh yeah, that's not that much.
That's 1 kilometer?
Mm-hmm. But can I just say that swing on fire is one of the most like disturbing things ever, I think. Like, you know, it's just, it's awful. It just, like, sets the mood for that movie, like, so good.
I appreciate you getting back on topic, but I have one thing to say. Like, so this lady named Akiko Takakura survived the effects of a 16-kiloton atomic bomb, so it's not a megaton, at the distance of 300 meters, hypocenter.
How much is a meter?
It's not much. With only minor injuries due to mainly her position in the lobby of a Bank of Japan, a reinforced concrete building. So in that case, because she was behind a certain wall, it saved her a bit. But if you're standing outside fully exposed, you're going to receive lethal third-degree burns and then very likely killed by the blast in that order within 2 seconds. Fuck.
Wow. Wow. So it sounds like James Cameron did his research, because that's pretty much what it looked like.
Sure did. In fact, he slowed it down just so you can see the effects of one thing, then the other.
Yeah, because like her skin like disintegrated, and then the bones caught on fire,
and then everything just boom.
Yeah.
No. Yeah. So Interspace. Like I said, the effects always will hold up better if they're practical. Like, that's why Independence Day, half the stuff looks pretty good, because it's all miniatures.
Why did he choose, he just chose a guy to inject Dennis Quaid into? Like,
I think he just got shot, didn't he? I feel like
there were so many other options.
Didn't he just get shot from the creepy robot guy?
And then he just grabbed somebody and...
He had to get rid of it.
I guess that's true.
I don't know. I mean, you could have injected it yourself, but you'd be dead.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think it was just a matter of whoever was next to him. And, of course, poor Jack Putter didn't know what the fuck hit him.
Poor Jack, who needed a character arc.
And he got one. I like the film a lot. Of course, Dick Miller makes an appearance. He's in almost everything Joe Dante does. Great character actor. And he's in the first Terminator as well.
Is he? Who is he playing? That's
the gun shop owner.
Oh.
That guy.
That Arnold kills.
Yep. Does he kill him? Yeah.
It's implied.
Yep, that's right. But
The way, I would have loved to see T2 when it came out, like, not knowing that Arnold was the good guy.
Yeah, it really doesn't. It leads you on, making think he's a bad guy again.
Yeah,
it's pretty cool.
Although I think in the trailer they might have spoiled it, but I'm not sure.
Probably they usually do that shit.
Yeah, like in Terminator Genesis, motherfucker, like putting John Connor's the bad guy in the second trailer. Like, what was that?
Oh, that's really dumb.
I was, like, so stoked. I was like, second trailer's out, and then that happened. I was like, no, this is a big plot point.
I forgot how stupid that fucking movie was.
Oh, it was so bad.
I forgot John Connor's the villain. Why?
I liked it better. Okay, well, no. I was going to say I liked it better than Salvation.
Fuck you. Salvation was pretty good.
Ooh.
No, I mean, compared to, like, because it wasn't about trying to prevent the war. It was finally fucking about the war. And if they kept that trilogy up, I think I'd be better off in the second two.
I would have rather seen the... Remember the intro to Genesis?
Yeah, when there's two Arnolds? No, intro?
When they show the same him scene. Sending back Arnold.
Yeah, the first scene, the first movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he's naked, and there's two Terminators.
No. It was in the future, and it was John grown up in the future, and he was sending back...
Oh.
He was sending back Kyle Reese.
Right, okay, you're
If they had shown that future, and it was mashed up with with James Cameron's future...
Mm-hmm.
Not the desert stuff, not the...
Yeah.
I don't know. It looks so much different than the other ones.
Sure. I mean, Mech G directed it, so it's going to look like garbage.
Charlie's Angels.
Yep. But, I mean, I just liked the idea, or some ideas of it. It didn't really work in the end, but it was cool to finally see the future. That's why I was so excited for it, and it let me down in a big way.
That was one of those movies, as a kid, you know when you see a movie... And you want it to be good, and you're like in denial that it was bad. That was definitely one of those for me.
Terminator 3 was like that for me. Then I realized, I started thinking about like how bad the fucking time travel shit was. Like, what the fuck?
Okay, but this guy pointed out to me today, the good thing about that movie is the twist at the end that it was like...
Oh, don't tell me. Wait. I forgot, and I want to get surprised again.
Okay.
I think I remember it, but I don't want to... Yeah. No spoilers for Terminator 3 here. We should move on from Terminator 3 and 2, definitely. But also from Interspace.
Knocking the table.
So you've seen... Did you finish Interspace? No.
Yes.
No, you didn't.
Yeah, no, I did. I did. I finished it, but...
this morning, after you fell asleep again?
No. He sneezed, right? He sneezed, and Dennis Quaid came out of him.
But that's not the end.
And then he drove off into the sunset.
But then
what? What happened?
Who drove off in the sunset?
Martin Short.
But he wasn't driving off in the sunset. What was he doing? You probably remember
what happened. He was driving the convertible.
Because?
Because Dennis Quaid gave it to him.
No, because Dennis Quaid and Meg Ryan took off in the limo, but the limo driver was the guy working for the other guy. He's still trying to get the chip. He had the cufflinks on his... Yeah. Yeah, so it was like a continuing adventure. It could have easily been a sequel.
I was real struggling to stay awake at that point.
God damn it. So, moving on. My 52 pickup for last week, technically, I didn't get a chance to record it because I didn't watch one. I'll double up sometime later and we'll get it taken care of. But in honor of my first time ever on an airplane, I wanted to watch movies that are now based around airports and airplanes.
Now, did you watch Airplane on the airplane?
No, I didn't watch anything on the airplane.
Oh.
But yeah, Airplane, I haven't watched it in a long time. And it's kind of cheesy now, but it's still fun. There's some really, I'm more dirty. I love the lines with the pilots. Like, you ever seen a grown man naked? And it's just so funny to me.
I thought
me.
You
like,
were going
to
say the boobs.
Yeah, oh, there was like one shot of boobs, yeah.
There's one shot in like each one. It's just like, oh, why is there boobs here? Because we need it.
So your dad loves this movie?
Yeah, he likes that kind of humor. Yeah,
it's fun.
Yeah, the dumb kind of like, don't call me Shirley. Like, yeah. That kind of humor, yeah.
It's so good. Like, there's a lot of wordplay like that.
Yeah.
You know, it's cheesy, but there's like, you know, a lot of this exact joke over and over again in different ways. Like nerdy sentence structure jokes.
Yeah.
There's a problem in the cockpit.
There's a problem in the cockpit. Cockpit? What's that? It's a small room at the front of the plane where the pilot controls the plane. You know, it's just a lot of that stuff.
So my brother was in American Carol also with Leslie Nielsen.
Oh, my God.
That might have been his last movie. Yeah. So
wow.
Adam was on set with, he was one of the kids in the beginning. Have you seen it?
No.
He was on set. One of the kids in the beginning, there's like a picnic scene and Leslie Nielsen brings all the kids around and tells them a story. And that's the movie. And so Adam went up to Leslie Nielsen and said, "Don't call me Shirley," on set because of Airplane, and apparently it was great. And that was just before he died.
Did you punch him in the face?
No, he was laughing.
Okay, that was 2008, and he died in 2010.
My brother's face is like a third of the screen in that movie in the very beginning.
Really?
Yeah.
No, thank you.
It's kind of a dumb movie.
It looks dumb.
The only redeeming part of that movie is look up Radical Christians, and it's like, it spoofs, what's her name?
Rosie O'Donnell?
Thank you. It spoofs her, and she's talking about Radical Christians. That's the only like good part of that movie.
Yeah, it's funny, because like, I look at a lot of airplane scenes, and I remember a lot of airplane scenes before, like, these planes are not as big as they really advertise on these films. Like, unless you're taking international planes, which I've heard are bigger.
Yeah.
This one is totally small, and it feels like a goddamn bus. It's so tiny.
In the movie?
In real life.
Oh, it's not like Flight Plan or something.
I haven't watched that in a long time, but that's okay. Jodie Foster. No, I don't know. It's just they're really small in real life, and it just sucks. And I kind of felt like I was cheated in my advertisements of all these films over the years.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah, when's the last time you watched this movie?
Maybe like 7 years ago.
Okay. Do you remember the opening credits?
No, is it as good as Nocturnal Animals?
Yes. The same exact scene. It's weird. They just ripped off Airplane. No, and the...
It's a fat lady dancing.
Before the title roll, you see clouds, and you hear the Jaws theme.
No way.
And you see the airplane tip going through like it's a shark fin.
Oh,
and
that's then it so cool.
Flies up at the end, and like it says airplane, and then it goes into... The white zone is for loading and unloading. The red zone is not to be parked in. Right. And it goes back. There's like two like voices going back and forth, like they're a married couple. Like, well, you would know, wouldn't you, John? Like, it's really, it's kind of funny. Like, it's like those kinds of jokes.
I remember that.
Yeah, there's always like something in the opening credits, whether it's like a Naked Gun, they have like the police siren going through things.
Have you ever seen Police Academy?
Yeah.
And when they're like, is that the one where they stop and then they like move around? Because you know how they like freeze frame on shows? Like, they'll be saying, you know what I'm talking about?
Are you talking about Naked Gun again?
Is that, okay, it's Naked Gun, sorry.
Because Police Academy is completely different. It's not parody film.
Okay.
It's just comedy.
It's Naked Gun.
Okay.
Yes.
That's what I was talking about. The sirens going through everything. That's what the opening is for all three of them. Yeah. Cop car and the old siren.
I don't remember that.
Wow.
I remember the credits when they like freeze frame it, but then they move because they're not freeze framed.
I don't remember this. They're not the credits unless they're at the end. I don't think it's Police Academy or Police Squad or, you know, Naked Gun either.
I think I was thinking of Police Squad.
So the TV show.
Is that the one with Leslie Mann?
Leslie Nielsen?
No, thank you.
Oh, my God. You're falling apart.
Is Leslie Nielsen in Police Squad?
Yeah. That was a show that was based.
That's what it is.
The Naked Gun came out of.
Yes, it's Police Squad.
Okay. Yes. All right. You figured it out.
Yes. Did it hold up?
It's, like I said, it's kind of outdated in the way some of the jokes are told. I mean, the parody genre seems to have come and gone for the most part because it does feel kind of cheesy and it's hard to do well. I mean, Airplane obviously is one of the best parody films out there, and I'm not trying to disparage the film in any way, but in the same token, it's a little outdated. There's some jokes referring to Kareem Abdul-Jabbar's record because he's pretending to be a pilot, but he's really Kareem. And like, he has one of the worst, like, you think Space Jam has bad basketball player acting? This fucking role Kareem Abdul-Jabbar did was just so bad. He was like wooden and stilted, no pun intended, because he's tall. It was just so bad. It was so bad. I can't get over how bad that was.
I feel like audiences have gotten dirtier.
Yes.
In their humor. Like The Hangover, Superbad.
40-Year-Old Virgin.
All of those are very successful comedies now. And back then, it seemed like Airplane was like the successful comedy.
Mm-hmm. I mean, even in a way, like even The Big Sick has some dirty stuff to it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's more like in that vein.
Judd
Apatow.
I wouldn't call that super. I mean, it's successful critics-wise, but it hasn't made a lot of money. Like, not like Superbad or those.
Well, what are you? Or The Hangover. What are you saying now? I'm not saying, talking about success. I'm talking about the tone.
Oh, okay.
Not success. That's a completely different thing. I mean, I'm just talking about how everything's kind of dirty now, like you were saying earlier.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I get it. I mean, that's why I think I laughed harder with the child rape joke, because like it's just so taboo. Even now, obviously, no one likes that kind of stuff, but
yeah,
it's funny. You ever seen a grown man naked, like Timmy or Billy? Hey, Timmy.
Oh, that's right. I remember that.
Yeah. And then the blow up doll getting head. And, well, Leslie Nielsen comes in thinking she's giving him head, and she's just trying to blow him up. Yeah, but he's like bobbing his head, like, oh yeah.
Yeah.
I did like this slapping scene where, like, get a hold of yourself and, like, my turn, let me handle this, and, like, slapping her, and then the nun comes in, and then people behind him have guns and, like, billy clubs are beating the shit out of this lady.
Yeah.
That was fun.
Do you think that would fly now?
That movie?
No, that joke.
Beating women?
Yeah.
I don't know, man. comedy's ruined.
That's pretty extreme.
I don't know. It probably wouldn't fly because people just suck.
Yeah.
I mean, comedy should be...
Like people get offended too easily now.
I could just watch the Dave Chappelle special last night, I think. And he was talking about Bill Cosby raping people and stuff.
Yeah.
But how he also loved him growing up. And he was like an idol to him and he did a lot of good things. And he's like, it's like when you find out... It's like if you found out chocolate ice cream raped 54 people. But I really like chocolate ice cream.
Yeah.
And now you have to like pretend you don't.
Yeah.
And I'm not trying to, you know, obviously these are bad things. These are horrible things. But by laughing at them as in a society, we can get over them and cope and process.
Yeah.
I think comedy has that place. And I think if we try to start like policing comedy, we kind of lose sight of what the hell we're.
Yeah.
You know, what's PC anymore? Anything? No.
Anthony Jeselnik gets in a lot of trouble. Mm-hmm. Like when there's a disaster, terrorist attack or something, he said he gets texts saying, don't say anything.
Yeah.
And then he's like, oh, I have to say something now.
Yeah.
And it's just like, you know, people are too sensitive now, I feel like.
I agree. Speaking of sensitive, we cry every night because you guys don't fucking email us. So email us at notquitepod@gmail.com.
If you can't type, if you don't like typing, send us a picture of
movie
that you want to see. Send us anything.
Don't ask for pictures. We're going to get some dick pics and like really disgusting photos.
That's cool. Send us something.
You don't answer the email. You don't have that.
I guess that's true.
God damn it.
That's all Jamie.
I mean, I haven't gotten one, so it's not like a big deal. But we are also on Twitter, NQHPod, Facebook, Not Quite Hollywood, and of course iTunes. Subscribe to us there. If you're listening to us, give us a review. bump us up a bit. We just want to get some more love. And if you wanted to get the backlog of our entire 73 episodes, go to guyonawire.com. That's where I also post We Need Movies reviews. I post my cancer story chapter by chapter. I post a whole bunch of stuff out there. So go ahead and check that out. And Guy on the Wire is also my Twitter handle and my Instagram.
Very cool.
So what do you got?
I'm not high on the wire like you, but I'm am on...
We're taking that out. That was a dumb joke.
We're on. My Instagram is me and my blazer. You can follow my movie reviews, Doggone Movie Reviews, and I'm gonna try and do a Terminator 2 3D review on there, explaining why I like the movie. And I'm gonna try and post it on Judgment Day. Which are 20 years since Judgment Day, which is August 29th.
That's tomorrow.
1997. That is Tuesday.
Oh, shit. That's 2 days ago. So this will
post. No. Yes, it is 2 days. Yes. Yes. It is. Sorry. Yes, it is 2 days ago. You can follow me on Twitter at AlexHoward11 and see me retweet Brie Larson 24/7.
Not creepy at all.
Nope.
He's trying to get blocked. Or he's trying to get her address. Something like that.
I tweeted Schwarzenegger with my ticket picture. Just, I wanted him to hit like, and he never hit like today. So, I'm disappointed.
He might.
Maybe tomorrow. Maybe he was just sleeping all day today. Wake up tomorrow and be like, oh, I like this guy.
He's at the gym all day. Getting back in shape for Terminator 19. Well, until next time. I think next week we're going to talk about some Rotten Tomatoes. I think that time has come.
Yeah.
And
some Rotten Tomatoes debate.
Yep. Is it worth it? Is it necessary? Is it helpful? And what the fuck does it mean? Until next time, I'm Jamie.
I'm Alex.
And bye.